You ready today, Keith?
I'm ready today. I'm ready every day, Jones.
That was a foolish question in retrospect.
Yeah, please. Born ready, as they say.
There's still confetti in here from yesterday. Is there any on that?
It was a big day. It was a big. I got most of it with the shop vac, but like we're in good shape here. We cleaned up after ourselves.
I think we did a good job, but I no joke. There's still. I walked in and there was like I was probably like stuck in the
it's
wheels
everywhere.
Of the chair or something like that.
Yeah,
yeah. There's still confetti.
Like glitter in a strip club.
can't get it off.
Never really get rid of it.
Exactly, nope. Exactly what it is.
Nice keepsake.
So it's a good reminder though of Drake May making his debut. On Sunday against the Houston Texans, it's official. It's happening.
Yes.
Alex Van Pelt is going to talk to the media today.
Woo!
A little after 11.
Though. No, not to us.
No, we got to wait a few weeks for that. And
it will be
assuming he wants to answer any of our questions.
He won't, but it'll be interesting to see what he says because I don't think anybody has been as steadfast in the support of Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, no, he loves Jacoby Brissett. Apparently hates Drake May.
Yeah.
And so
it should be a good working relationship going forward.
That's an odd question.
Yeah, it wasn't in retrospect.
No.
But, he's talking shortly after 11.
All right.
So we'll see what he has to say.
I like his scheme. There's been moments when he's shown to be a good play caller.
That's his guy.
No, moment, maybe. Maybe. Yeah, we're being charitable.
Nice play call.
Dan Orlovsky. So Van Pelt talks later today. He says anything interesting, we'll be sure to pass it along. In the meantime, your thoughts on Drake May and what you expect in his debut. You can jump in here, 617-779-7937. We'll open up the lines for you. You can text us at 37937. Follow along on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You're going to want to tune in for that. You never know what's going to happen there. You can also watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. We touched on this yesterday, Keefe. Your expectations for Drake May, kind of in like a points prism, you know, how many points do we expect the Patriots to score? How do we expect the offense to look? What are your expectations and what bar are you setting for Drake May in his debut against what we think is a Super Bowl contender?
Yeah, good team.
And
good defense.
What we know is a really good defense.
I would say 400 yards, 4 touchdowns. No, I would say for Drake May, it is being a competent offense, something that we haven't seen the last 3 weeks. And like fewer three and outs, right? They're the three and out kings. If you need a three and out punt, the Patriots are your squad.
They got you covered.
Because you know what you can't say? You can't say turn it over less than Brissett. That's one thing Brissett didn't really do. He threw the pick six against the Niners, but for the most part, he didn't take chances. Therefore, he didn't turn it over, but he also didn't make plays. So I'll sacrifice I guarantee you he throws an interception. I don't know what the odds are.
Oh, over under half a pick.
He's throwing a pick.
Okay.
Right, he got away with one when he came in the Jets game. Hopefully he throws it a little bit more. I bet he throws a pick. But I also think he throws a touchdown. Like, I think they're going to move the ball a little bit, even if it's 50-50 run pass, or maybe it's even a little bit more heavy on the run. But the bar is so low overall, the 5 weeks that we've seen this offense perform, that if they score 2 offensive touchdowns, it's going to look like a tsunami of points. You're going to be like, oh my God, what is this team?
Like the Chiefs when Mahomes first got in there is how it's going to feel. Yeah.
And also, again, I think you have to be prepared for mistakes and maybe a couple like head-scratching plays, but it can't be too many of them. It can't be throwing the ball across your body or trying to avoid a sack and rather than just taking a sack, trying to make a play and throwing it right to a linebacker. Like, it's going to be you can't have that stuff, even though it is your debut. But I think the bar's low enough where if he scores a couple of touchdowns, or he and the offense score a couple of touchdowns, you're going to look like, all right, that's a great place to start for this team.
Yeah, we said yesterday, 17 points, couple of offensive touchdowns. You know, you're putting together some drives where you're not going three and out. You're looking functional. You don't want those head-scratching plays. I mean, I agree with that. Further along, I'd like to see some throws down the field. I mean, this offense just has
that'd
no throws down the field.
Yeah, that'd be good.
You know, and I don't even mean 50-yard bombs. I'm talking that 15 to 20-yard range where you didn't really see that consistently with Brissett. You would see short throws. You would see easy throws. Maybe they'd mix in the deep shot to Polk against the Niners. But that's really more what I'm talking about, like that deep to intermediate range that I don't feel like they're testing right now. I think that's an area of the playbook that you can open up. And, yeah, there's a risk for some turnovers. He probably does turn it over this weekend. You don't want a 3-4 pick game. You're Will Levis.
Yeah, no, right.
You know, I heard the Greg Hill Show talking about this morning. You're Zach Wilson in some of those starts. Like, you don't want that.
The Nathan Peterman.
Yeah,
definitely not that. But from Peterman to Mahomes, there's a big gap there in the middle of how you can play.
But I am willing to take that risk of, like, let's launch it down the field a little bit. It doesn't have to be 50-plus yard throws, but that 15 to 20-yard range, they are not testing. And you need to do that in today's NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to see him run. And I think that's an element of the playbook that should be opened up. I would hope that Alex Van Pelt leans on that a little bit this week. You asked me yesterday, do I expect design runs? I do.
Yeah.
You know, third and shorts, red zone. Like, I don't expect to just do it on first and 10. But if you need to go pick up some yards, I think he's a catalyst to be able to do that, or at least give the defenses some different looks. So they're not loading up on Ramondre Stevenson
right,
and expecting you to just run it right up the gut. I'd expect to see some of that, and I want to see some of that. I think that's his skill set. I think that's what he can bring to this offense. It's part of why I liked him so much coming into the NFL. And so those are the things I want to see. He has a big arm. He's athletic. So throw it down the field and have him run a little bit. These are right, his strengths. These are what he can do. There is no reason in my mind to limit that. None.
Right, no, I know, and I think, you know, as much as it's, well, he's going up against such a good defense, like, why are you throwing him to the wolves like that? I don't know, sometimes that could be good. Sometimes you go in there, and anything you do, I feel like you almost graded it on a curve. Like, if he's able to have some success against a really good defense, isn't that a great sign? So when you play teams like the Jaguars and the Titans and even the Jets later on in the season, you're like, well, look what he was able to do against the Texans. Like, it can kind of work both ways. Not everybody. It's pretty split right now. And the people that didn't want to see him feel like, oh, it's going to be a disaster. His footwork is going to be a mess, and he's just going to get pounded. Well, if he has a little bit of success, like, what kind of confidence that's going to be for him, for the whole offense? Be like, hey, we didn't just wake up a little bit because Drake May's here. We also did it against one of the best teams in the league. Like, that can actually be a good thing.
If it's a disaster, so what?
Yeah, that's what I say.
I mean, obviously, I think people are worried about, does it ruin him? Does it break him? Will he never be the same guy? To me, that's wildly overdramatic. But I guess that would be the fear. I would just tell you it's been a disaster. Like, the team has been a disaster. It's hard to be worse than that.
They have two touchdowns in the last 3 weeks, and they both came off of turnovers where it was a short field.
They're averaging the last 3 weeks, I think, like 8 points a game. So
what the hell?
It has been a disaster. Right. Now, May hasn't been involved in that disaster, and I get you're worried about breaking the future of the organization. But at some point, you're going to have to do that.
But also, another example people keep bringing up is how this Texans team is like a great pass rush and all this stuff, and how Caleb Williams got ragdolled, right? 7 sacks. They beat up the Bears in week 2. Did that break Caleb Williams,
no,
or did he get a lot better 2 weeks later and have his best game of his career week 5?
He lit it up last week.
So you can have bad games, you can have bad moments, you can lose big games, and you can still learn from it and be better after. So you and I both think Drake May should have started all season. He certainly should have started against Miami. Well, that ship has sailed. That didn't happen. You can at least get him in there now, and there can be benefits to it. Even if you're going up against a good team, so be it.
So what are your expectations week 1 in this start this weekend against Houston? I'm already seeing it in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, 200 yards, 2 touchdowns. Which I
like that.
I mean, look, if he does that, we're going to feel pretty good about it, I think. You always got to see it. Who knows? Maybe they're way down in the game. He throws an early pick, and he gets some garbage time, 200 yards, 2 touchdowns. Maybe I'd feel differently.
But all right, well, how about this?
In a vacuum, if that's the stat line, I think we'd all feel really good about that.
Well, yeah, Jacoby Brissett has 2 passing touchdowns in 5 games. So if he matches that total in 1 game, I mean, that is
duck boats. And he hasn't thrown for 200 yards yet.
No, in fact, he's averaging 139.
That sounds high.
Honestly, if Drake May throws 150,
yeah,
it's a step forward. It's a step clearly in the right direction. I would look at it more like 175.
I think that was the number I heard Shime say today. Shime said 175.
And then run for over 25?
Yeah, something like that.
200 yards of offense?
That's good. You know, I also see this. 3793.
The top one? Oh, no, I like that one.
No. My expectations for Drake May are low, just watchable.
Product.
I think it's going to be watchable.
Yeah, me too.
And I think people are excited for the game this weekend. You should be. You know, if you watched the show yesterday, we are.
Yeah, we are.
Here's an interesting one, too. Hunter Henry's going to have 9 catches and a touchdown. Like,
I just dropped him in fantasy.
I think that's a fine move.
Yeah.
My answer would not be Hunter Henry. But who benefits from May getting in there?
Like, Jalen Polk.
You think that's the one?
I think it's definitely Jalen Polk.
In week one, like, I think over the balance of the season, I totally agree with that. You think week 1, it's Jalen Polk?
I think it's Polk. Yeah, I do. He had a couple of chances with Jacoby Brissett that he was out of bounds with. Maybe they take a few more chances, and maybe Drake May puts the ball in a better spot, and he doesn't have to toe tap. He doesn't have to do all that other stuff. So I think Jalen Polk.
You put that on Brissett?
I don't think it was a great throw by Brissett.
I don't think it was a great throw, but couldn't Polk come down and bounce?
My guy's got to get his little tootsies in there. He's got to get his tootsies
in there. There's plenty I blame Brissett for, like throwing it out of bounds on the bomb to Polk, where I still thought Polk was in bounds on that one against the Niners.
They were great throws, though.
Okay, they weren't. Yeah. It wasn't a great throw, but Polk, get your foot in bounds, Polk.
But maybe they take more chances with Drake May is my point. He has more opportunities to do it. So, I mean, people that have been at practice might have a better sense on which players Drake May is more comfortable with. Like, we don't know if he's constantly feeding Pop Douglas. Maybe the texter's right. Maybe it is Hunter Henry. Sometimes young quarterbacks, I feel like, do rely on the tight end in certain, they're just a safer throw, that kind of thing. But no, maybe it's more hope than anything else. But I think if Jalen Polk and Drake May can get some sort of connection going, that'd be the best thing.
Well, so that was what I was just going to say. I think you feel best about it.
Yeah.
If it's Jalen Polk, I'd feel really good if it's DeMario Douglas. And I have a feeling that's who it's going to be.
Pop on the tape, Douglas.
I should look at his drive again against the Jets. I feel like I remember that's who he was really peppering at the end of that Jets game. And I don't know how much he was on the field with DeMario Douglas or even Hunter Henry and guys like that in the preseason.
I feel like
he was out there a lot with Jalen Polk in the preseason. I think when he got in there at the end of that Jets game, if memory serves, DeMario Douglas, I know, had one big play on a fourth down, I think. That feels like the guy who's going to get going early. I'm with you, Keith. Long term, I think Jalen Polk, on balance, weeks 6 through 17 or 18, whatever, I think that's the guy who's going to stand to benefit the most and grow the most with Drake May, and you hope there's a connection there. Right away, I think drive starters to DeMario Douglas, short, easy throws to DeMario Douglas, that's probably who's going to benefit the most. But I hope they're taking shots down the field, and Polk may be that guy. Maybe seeing more of Kayshon Booty, or hell, with Kendrick Bourne back, maybe seeing more in that intermediate to even deep area of the field, you see some shots there. But consistently, I bet DeMario Douglas benefits from that.
Yeah, Kayshon Booty played a lot last week, so hopefully that kind of goes up a little bit more. Just because the potential is so much greater for a player like him than Tyquan Thornton or KJ Osborne or guys like that. So if you have Polk, Pop, Booty, and maybe Kendrick Bourne's a little bit healthier, to your point, those are four guys, plus the two running backs. So I think you can throw to both of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then Henry and Hooper. Mix those guys. I don't think they're going to be as big a part of the offense. I do think, through 5 weeks, Hunter Henry leads the team in targets. I don't know if that's ideal. I don't know if that's what you really want. Maybe more red zone stuff. Remember,
I don't think, even if you have Travis Kelce, maybe a bad example.
Kelsey's the only guy.
Who's the best tight end in football right now?
That's a good question.
Trey McBride? Who's the best? I don't think a tight end should be leading your team in targets. Bowers?
Maybe.
Who's
Laporta?
I don't think a tight end.
Kittle?
I don't think, maybe. So, good example. Fine, let's stick with San Francisco. Patriots fans just watched it a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be your leader. Even if he's the best tight end in football, he shouldn't be your leader in targets.
No.
It should
hopefully
be Debo
and
Ayuk in a functional
yeah,
offense.
Yeah. Hopefully that changes. And so, I think Hunter Henry is best suited red zone. His first year with the Patriots was Mac Jones' rookie year. The last time this team had any kind of semblance of a successful offense, he had a bunch of touchdowns. And it was all red zone touchdown. So that's really where he should be used rather than in the middle of the field.
Good question in the Twitch chat for you, Keith. I don't know specifically to you, but I think I can answer it as well. It was Slim Jim, I think it was. It scrolled by quickly.
Okay.
Where do we think Drake May is going to get all this time to throw?
Well, the thing is, Brissett has a little bit more time than people believe. Brissett has the same amount of time to throw as Jaden Daniels. And almost as much time as Patrick Mahomes?
Yep.
Or more. Whatever it was, it was close.
Let me give you the number. Phil Perry had some good numbers, but I'll pull him up. But yeah, keep going.
Yeah, I think it's more Jacoby Brissett holding on to the ball. And don't get me wrong, there are plenty of times where he was sacked because of the offensive line and he didn't have time. He's been sacked plenty of times where you can kind of go through them all, right? But Brissett's been sacked 17 times this year. I don't think it's fair. If you rewatch them all, are they all on the offensive line? No. And my hope is that Drake May makes his decisions a little bit quicker, gets the ball out quicker, and therefore, the passing yards will go up because you have a guy that's pulling the trigger quicker.
So Phil Perry wrote, and we talked about this on Monday, but I'll bring him back up. The Patriots were pressured on 18 of 37 dropbacks against the Dolphins. That's 49%, which sounds like a high rate.
Yeah.
On the 18 pressured dropbacks, the average time to throw was 2.96 seconds, almost 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Phil says
it's an eternity.
That's not an unmanageable number. For reference, the Chiefs have the second longest snap to pressure rate in football. at 2.99 seconds.
So it's just the same.
They have the second longest time to throw, and you're right there. So the point is Brissett's holding on to the ball. While there were six dropbacks that were generated in under 2 seconds, that's probably on the offensive line.
Right.
There were also five that came with 3.5 seconds or more. If your quarterback's holding on to it for 3.5 seconds like Brissett was,
you're going to take a lot of sacks.
That's not on the offensive line. And so this idea that he just doesn't have any time to throw, that really wasn't the case against the Dolphins. Let me give you one more thing that Reese wrote about the other day and Terp reminded me of this morning. Drake May is used to dealing with pressure.
All right.
He's used to dealing with that, and he has been dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
When he was at the University of North Carolina, he faced 409 pressures in his 2 years as a starter. That's the most of any FBS school.
Yikes.
So he's used to dealing with pressure. Now, he's used to dealing with it in the NCAA, not in the NFL.
But,
it's different, but this is a guy who dealt with more pressure than anyone else the 2 years he was in college.
Yeah, because the knock-on was Bo Nix is one of those guys, right, that had, no pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he would just get it, throw it, and had the clean pockets for days. So, yeah, he is used to dealing with a little bit more crap than some of the other quarterbacks. And I just think you have to be ready to accept some of the growing pains. Like, he's going to have bad moments, right? And he's going to have bad games, between now and the end of the season. But is there enough that it's pointing in the right direction? Like, are you going to be 2025 feeling better about it? But hey, Drake May had 12 starts under his belt, and at least the arrow is pointing up. I think that's reasonable. I think that's my expectation. I think that's what's going to happen.
So Alex Van Pelt is at the heart of all of this. And again, he's going to talk at 11.
I feel worse about it now.
I saw Giardi tweet today. Giardi says, and he was on WEEI Afternoons yesterday with Andy Hart and Christian Arkan. You can go back and check that out on the Odyssey app.
Not right
stuff
now.
From Giardi.
Not right now.
No, well, not in the middle of our
this
program.
Show.
Just eventually.
Okay.
He says some internally believe the team would be 3-2 if they had gotten better quarterback play.
Oh, sorry.
Whew. Though those same folks are glossing over the coaching issues and defensive regression is what Giardi says. So I don't think Van Pelt is one of those guys who thinks they'd be 3-2.
No.
My guess is that's Mayo, and that's part of the reason we're seeing
Mayo,
the quarterback
Covington,
switch.
Covington, Springer, Kraft, Wolf.
Not Van
everybody
Pelt.
But Van Pelt.
Well, not Wolf either.
No,
I don't
maybe
think.
Not. No.
Not Van Pelt. So what do we think Van Pelt does this week? Do we think Van Pelt, in his arsenal, in his playbook, do we think he has the capacity to, give Drake May the kind of plays we want to see, the short and intermediate throws, the plays where he's on the run, rolling out and throwing, the plays where he's just designed runs for Drake May? Do we think Van Pelt has the capability to do that? He has the capacity in his playbook to do that? Do we think, how do we feel about him in this transition?
I like his scheme. There's been moments when he's shown to be a good play caller.
To answer my own question, I don't, Dan Orlovsky.
Neither do I. This is the thing that scares me the most about the Drake May development. And this is also true from, 3 months ago or whenever he was hired? 12th guy interviewed, given the job because nobody wanted it, essentially. Has been in the league a really, really long time. Has been a play caller once, and it was in 2009 with Dick Geron and the Buffalo Bills. So he's been in the league since 09, even prior to 09. And he's been either a QB coach or a coordinator without play calling duties. When we talked to him a couple of weeks ago and we were asking him about splitting reps with young guys and preparing a quarterback to play and how unique that situation is, he's like, yeah, I've never dealt with it. So it doesn't exactly sound like the guy that is the best suited to mold a rookie quarterback and get the most out of him. I know people scoffed at it at the time, but I loved when Washington hired Cliff Kingsbury.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, I don't want Kingsbury to be my head coach, but that's not the job. That's offensive coordinator. He's worked with all these great quarterbacks his whole life.
And you're not saying this after 5 weeks.
No,
I wanted
it at the time.
Yeah, you were saying this when it happened, and as for our show, you've been saying it since week one.
And Jaden Daniels looks good, and I think Cliff Kingsbury deserves some credit for that. And so, yeah, turning it over to Alex Van Pelt and Drake May, that scares me, because I think Drake May individually is a very talented guy, but he's going to need all the help he can get. And when you look at perfect situations, so many people point to O-line, 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 or receivers, receivers, receivers. Play caller, pretty significant to me. Who's calling the plays? When Jared Goff played for Jeff Fisher and whoever their OC was, he looked like a bust. Sean McVay comes in, they make the Super Bowl. Like, that's a pretty staggering. Tua Tagovailoa looked like a starter, not starter, I don't know. Mike McDaniel shows up, the guy looks like an MVP. So the play caller can be the most important thing, even more important than the O-line for some of these young quarterbacks.
No, I think that's fair, but I also do think, if he's truly an elite quarterback, could he reach his potential with a better play caller? Yeah, but he should still be able to make Alex Van Pelt look pretty good if he's truly elite. Maybe not this week, but eventually. How much does Van Pelt run? How much do you manage Drake May in his first start? You guys can jump in on that. Plus all your expectations for start number one against Houston. We've been giving you some of ours. We want to hear from you at 617-779-7937. Again, shortly after 11 o'clock, Alex Van Pelt will talk today. I'm curious how he approaches it. We want to get to the divisional landscape as well at quarterback. You look at Aaron Rodgers in the start with the Jets. You look at Josh Allen going 9 for 30 last week against this Houston defense. You look at Tua and his injury issues. Where do the Patriots fit in long-term in that AFC's landscape, particularly as it comes to quarterback? And with the quarterback on the other side this week, C.J. Stroud, who's a fan of Drake May, by the way. Look at how quickly things turned on a dime in Houston. They're a destination for free agents. They're a Super Bowl contender. How far away are the Patriots from that?
I mean, it's hard to just pick one. I'm in a toss.
Who's the most NFL ready?
I feel like Drake May is. You watch his tape. Just his arm talent jumps off. I mean, he's one guy that, like, to me, like, the one mistake that I did early on in, like, this first couple of games was I moved around too much. Like, I didn't get the ball out on time. I started taking risks that weren't even downfield. They're necessarily scrambling. And when you watch his tape, he scrambles when he needs to. He throws guys open. He has like right here, he has rollout ability, like different arm angles. So I feel like when you watch Drake May,
you see certain things that you need to play an NFL game. Like, I feel like you're like, oh, that works and that translates.
Right. CJ Stroud, Texans quarterback on draft night.
Draft night. You like Drake May?
Big Drake May fan.
How about that?
Who do you like in the class? I like Drake May. Like his arm strength, like his mobility. He does things that doesn't do things that I did too much of when I first got in there. And now he's looking at college tape.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he doesn't go out there and try to do too much, et cetera, which I was trying to do at the start of my rookie year. So, look, take that for what it's worth. But C.J. Stroud, phenomenal young quarterback in the NFL, was the rookie of the year last year?
Oh, yeah.
Must have been, right?
Yeah, I think Puka Nacua closed. It was close, but I think Stroud won it.
So, you know, he's a brilliant young quarterback in the league, and Drake May was his favorite quarterback, so take that for what it's worth.
But C.J. Stroud is such a great example of a guy that started right away, wasn't amazing right away. We always reference the preseason game where he looked terrible, but he himself says...
He threw a pick or a pick six against the Pats in his first preseason start, and looked awful.
First couple weeks of the season, you're like, oh boy, like he and Bryce Young were kind of neck and neck, and then...
He took off.
Wait a minute. Oh, he learned from some of the mistakes from playing on the field? Like, he got better from the experience that he had, and he stopped making those mistakes. And I think it's a lot different. Like, if he was watching somebody else play, like if he was watching Davis Mills play, does it sink in the same way? No, my guess is when he first took the field, he would have been doing the same thing. He might have been moving around too much, taking dumb chances and things like that. And he pretty much cleaned it up out of his game and had one of the best rookie years a quarterback has had in the NFL. And now is in just in year two... is, you know, one of the favorites to either go to the Super Bowl. I know it's a very trendy pick, but everybody's all over Stroud. He's getting, you know, decent MVP odds at the start of the year. Like, that's the kind of season that he had. And everybody knew that best-case scenario, far and away, you know, pie-in-the-sky scenario, could the Patriots be the Texans? New coach, new quarterback. That's exactly the model that they're following this year.
Okay. Defensive coach, which D'Amico Ryans came in with C.J. Stroud in year one.
Yeah, young coach.
Jerod Mayo is coming in year one with Drake May. You look at it a year ago, because this is revisionist history of the highest order. People look at it and go, oh, well, the Texans had Nico Collins.
But what the hell?
For 2 years in the NFL, Nico Collins did nothing. Now, he's hurt. Patriots won't face him this week. And he might be one of the best receivers in the NFL. He was on pace for a 2,000-yard season before he got injured. Okay, so he's a wonderful talent, but he hadn't done anything his first 2 years in the league. DeMario Douglas statistically had different receivers. DeMario Douglas had a better rookie year than anything Nico Collins did his first 2 years in the NFL. Okay, catches, yards, better for DeMario Douglas. So
yeah, people saying that Houston was a good team is wrong. Like they weren't. Now their over under was better.
Awesome talent, but like it wasn't unlocked until he got the quarterback, and so you don't fully know what's on the roster
going into 2023. Do you know what their over under was for wins?
4.5,
6.5.
Okay,
so higher than, but still like they could hit the over and have a losing record by 2-3 games.
Yeah.
So the fact that they won 10 was a major surprise to everybody.
Yeah. You know, they had Laremy Tunsil. I feel like this is having the Terry McLaurin discussion with Jaden Daniels again. Okay, fine. So the Texans had Tunsil at left tackle. No one believed they had anything else last year. The Commanders have Terry McLaurin. No one believes they have anything else. And the quarterback comes in and takes over and makes it look different. So I'd rather have McLaurin than any of the pass receivers. I'd rather have Tunsil than any of the Houston offensive linemen.
For sure.
But that team was devoid of talent. People thought it would be among the worst in the NFL.
Right.
And it flipped on a switch. And now, a year later, after they went to the playoffs, won 10 games, won a round last year, they are a free agent destination. They traded for Stephon Diggs, but they signed all these free agents. Danielle Hunter came there. Joe Mixon came there, among others. So they signed all these free agents. They're a Super Bowl contender. That all changed in a year. Like, that's a high-end comp for Drake May, but that's an example of how quickly things could turn here in New England if you have the guy.
Oh, yeah, because they had been a bit of a joke, right? I mean, they were Bill O'Brien got fired in 2020, right? Yeah. So that 2020 year. So that's
Jack Easterby was like taking over.
It was a mess.
Remember, they were a disaster.
They were one of the worst franchises. Yes. They won four games in 20. They won four games in 21. They won three games in 22. And obviously they got rid of Deshaun Watson. They were starting to get some of these draft picks because Nick Caserio's down there. His first year, he didn't have like any picks, right? His first pick was in the third round, I think Davis Mills. They eventually started to get some picks. They were very aggressive in the draft. So that's something that the Patriots weren't this year. They just took Drake May at three, which is great. But the Texans took Stroud and traded up for Will Anderson. So like the Jets, they doubled up. They had the offensive rookie of the year and the defensive rookie of the year. So they are being very aggressive, and their roster construction has come together really well. But to take a former linebacker who was only coaching for a few years. Now, one big difference is D'Amico Ryans was a D coordinator for 2 years.
Yeah.
Gerard Mayo was an inside linebacker coach.
Gerard Mayo just ran meetings during the week. He didn't call plays on defense.
A little bit different, but still, it was a first-year head coach last year, and it was a defensive guy paired up with the rookie quarterback, because I always love pair up the offensive head coach.
Well,
but there are some examples, like this one, where it works.
Let me jump in, though, line, because I think you'd agree with this, 37937. Houston has decent coaches, and I would apply that to the offensive coordinator.
Yes. Yeah, Bobby Slowick.
Bobby Slowick came with D'Amico Ryans from San Francisco.
So that's a good start.
He never called plays, but he's a young up-and-comer on the offensive side. The Patriots have the opposite of that in Van Pelt.
Oh, my God. So if you want to say that's a major difference, I 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
And that's why, it's no sure thing, but it doesn't mean, because that's another tough part for the sit Drake May or the hashtag can't or don't break Drake crowd.
Yeah. Shout out Ken Laird. Don't break Drake.
So if you're afraid of the offensive coordinator, which I kind of am, what do you wait? You wait for next year and then there's a new one? There's no guarantee you even swap it out. If they're paying him, they might keep him. So then you got to wait until you find some offensive genius. So year three, maybe he starts with another coordinator and a new offense.
And then what? Then what if he doesn't look good? You got to give him a fourth year because he didn't have the first 2 years and now you're sitting and you're waiting and it's 4 years later and you don't even know what you have.
As Gerard Mayo said Monday several times, this is the hand they've been dealt. So for Drake May, he got drafted to a team.
You must love that if you're in that locker room, right?
Just be like,
it's the hand we've been dealt.
Can't fold. We got to play.
It's a good vote of confidence for everybody on that team.
Yeah, he's right. This is the hand we've been dealt.
617-779-7937. What are your expectations this weekend for Drake May in his debut? Yardage, touchdowns, point total. I was a little less specific. I just want to see some throws down the field.
Throws down the field.
They don't have to be 50-yard bombs, but like 15 to 20 yard. That intermediate
that
area.
That seems doable.
They don't work that area of the field, or they haven't with Jacoby Brissett. And I want to see him run. He's got a big arm and he's athletic. Let's utilize those talents. And on top of it, how far away are the Patriots from becoming the Texans? It's probably a lot closer than you think. A Super Bowl contender and a free agent destination, you get the quarterback, you can be both of those things. The Texans just proved it. Let's get to your phone calls. Again, 617-779-7937. Jonathan's in Randolph. Get us started today, Jonathan.
Something I can't believe no one's brought up about starting Drake May is, what if he gets hurt? I mean, hasn't anyone considered that Drake May might get hurt?
I'm sure
everyone on the team thinks that, if we can't start him, we got to put our bodies on the line, but we can't let Drake May get hurt. It doesn't matter. We got to wait until everything's perfect so Drake May does not get hurt, because he's the most important person in the entire league. And I think we all understand that. I think we all appreciate that.
Okay, so he's
joking?
He's being tongue-in-cheek. Yes.
Got it.
And so what if he does get hurt? Then it's like Joe Burrow.
He gets hurt.
Joe Burrow got hurt as a rookie.
You go to your local doctor.
Joe Burrow rehab. Joe Burrow got hurt. His career was over, right?
He never did anything else. Last we ever heard of him.
They buried him 6 feet under.
Yeah. He's
pushing up daisies.
Sad.
So, like, you know, Joe Burrow got hurt as a rookie, and they were in the Super Bowl the next year.
Oh, right. That's
and,
what happened.
You know, I mean, he's had subsequent injuries. Maybe that didn't help Joe Burrow long term. I don't know.
And I know he was, well, I guess, but he's, I know now he was joking. But, people have said that.
Did I misread that? I think he was joking.
I hope he was joking, too. But people have mentioned that when the announcement first came out was, he's going to be hurt soon anyway. Brissett lasted 5 weeks. For everybody that assumes the quarterback of the Patriots
Brissett
is going to be hurt
make
forever.
It through the first
yeah,
month.
But he's tough. Yeah. Well, so Drake May isn't?
Right.
Like, how do we know? Like, that is a fear I also have is after 2-3 weeks, if the thing that we keep saying about Drake May is he's also tough, that's not ideal. Like,
no.
You want your quarterback to be tough, but you don't want that to be the first thing they say about him, because that usually means he's been getting smashed around the field and he keeps getting up and he's like grimacing, but he doesn't leave the field. Oh, he's tough. It's like, yeah, I also would like to see him make some plays.
Yeah, how's his arm?
Yeah,
you're good. He's tough. How's his arm? Mark is in Medford. What's up, Mark?
Hey, how's it going, guys? First off, I just want to, before I get to my Drake May question, I just want to start off by saying it's always a good day when a team from Philadelphia gets eliminated from any sport.
True. We'll take it.
My question for Drake.
I'll be honest, I'm kind of pulling for Philly. I'm pulling for Dombrowski and the Phillies. Yeah, I am. I am. But I understand.
No.
I understand the hatred.
Worst fans in the world.
Nah, they're not great.
All right. Worst fans in the world.
All right.
But my question about Drake May is this. If he goes out and has a bad game on Sunday, is he easily frazzled like Mac Jones was, or is he mentally tougher than Mac Jones?
Oh, well, I mean, we don't know.
We
but
don't really know.
I hope to God he's more mentally tough than
again,
Mac Jones.
Again, low bar. Right? Like,
super low bar.
Like, taking over for Jacoby Brissett, low bar as far as, like, moving the ball. Like, a first down, we're all going to, like, throw a parade. And then how does he respond compared to Mac Jones? I would assume better. I mean, it's hard to know until you're really thrown into that situation how he's going to react to it. Just my guess is it would be better.
Yeah,
and that's also why I think, like,
is he crying coming off the field and running around punching people in the nuts? No?
No.
Okay, well then he's tougher and you know, keeps his head better than Mac Jones.
But this is also my glass overflowing take on playing the Texans. Is if he has a bad game against the Texans, you get in his ear and you're like, that was the Texans. That's one of the best teams we're gonna face. They got one of the best pass rushers we're gonna face. Like, that's all right. Because if he went out there and had an absolute dud against Miami, you're like, oh, that's one of the worst teams we're going to
play.
Right. Like, that cost Jacoby Brissett his job because they were so bad. They were actually favored in that game. They're 7-point home dogs. So if he loses, every quarterback on the team would have lost this game. It's just, how do you look? And I think you can bounce back. I think Caleb Williams is a great example. Against this very team, he got sacked 7 times. I think he threw a pick. Like, it wasn't a good game for him. And people were like, oh, is he a bust? Is he a bust? 2 weeks later, he's slamming it around in a win, and the team has a winning record again. So, and Caleb Williams, everybody questioned his mental capacity,
yep.
And he was able to recover from a bad game against Houston.
All right, this is a good one. Ready? Caleb Williams, if this is Drake May's debut, I don't think we'd take it.
No.
23 out of 37, 174, no touchdowns, 2 picks. He did run for 44 yards.
So under 200 yards passing, no passing touchdowns, 2 picks, sacked 7 times.
Yeah.
I want to go home and cuddle my dog and watch some shows.
Dude, same.
I wouldn't sign up for that. Do you think Drake May can do better than that?
I do.
I do too.
Yep, I do.
Maybe that's wishful thinking.
I don't know. Right, exactly.
But yes, I do think he can do better than that. Caleb Williams, in fairness to him, was on the road. This is a home game for the Patriots.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. We'll get to your feedback here on Drake May, his debut. What are your expectations? How far off are the Patriots from becoming the Houston Texans? It's probably closer than you think, based on where Houston was just a year plus ago. And when it comes to the rookie quarterback class, speaking of Caleb Williams, Drake May, your guy, Bo Nix. What is it again? Not Bo
Leave.
Bo Leave.
Bo Leave. Oh, there's another
in
one coming.
Bo Nix. Jaden Daniels. Who has the highest ceiling? Who will be the best quarterback in this class? We can get to it next.
You know, really, I was just trying to, you know, prepare and stay, try to stay ready every week. You know, I think that's the thing about this league. You never know when your number's going to get called. So try to stay ready. And I think, you know, like I said earlier, Jacoby, I think he did all he could. I think he, you know, battled his butt off and was a great leader. So I think kind of, the biggest thing is, you know, it's a winning league, and we're sitting here at 1-4, and I think you know, these guys around here want to win.
I like that answer yesterday from Drake May. Got a good pop in studio as we were listening to that in real time.
Hey, listen, Jacoby did all he could. You guys have seen him play. He got the most out of it.
That was the most he could do.
It's a winning league, though.
Yeah.
We're 1-4.
Guys want to win. Yep. So they don't want Jacoby anymore. He was trying his little heart out there.
No, no, no.
Most he could, but, you know, nice little try. I patted him on the butt. I said, go back over there. Hold the clipboard there.
Thanks, Jacoby.
Pop your hat on backwards. We're going to go try to win some games. Yep. It's the NFL.
We got to do better than 2 passing touchdowns in 5 weeks.
Good job. Good effort. So that was Drake May yesterday.
I like it.
In a relatively benign Q&A with the media. It's Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Alex Van Pelt is going to talk about 10 minutes from now. So we'll keep an eye on what he has to say. We'll also get to news in the AFC East. Aaron Rodgers, not very happy.
No.
With questions about whether or not he got Robert Saleh fired.
I resent that.
There's news on the Jets play caller in New York. Where do the Patriots fit into the AFC East landscape? They might not be that far away from the top based on some of the happenings in the division. I'm not talking about this year necessarily, but in the near term. So we can get to that. With all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. Drake May will be one of 5 rookie starting quarterbacks this weekend.
Woo! How about that? 5 out of 32.
Jaden Daniels is right now through 5 weeks running away with Rookie of the Year.
Correct.
He's in the MVP conversation.
Yes.
Caleb Williams righted the ship last week. It was Carolina, but righted the ship last week. He's 3-2. Bo Picks, 3-2.
Bo Leave.
Broncos all of a sudden winning on defense, and he's not killing them.
No, he looks great.
Another rookie who's 3-2.
Yep.
Patriots are starting Drake May, as you know.
Woo!
And then Keith.
Under the radar.
The injury to Derek Carr. Yeah. In New Orleans, we're going to get who?
Spencer Rattler.
The Rattler.
The Rattler's coming in. One of the weird college careers. Out of all those guys, he had the strangest college career.
Oh, he was like a mega recruit out
of
high school.
He was supposed to be a stud. Caleb Williams actually took over for him and dominated. Then he left. He transferred. Then he ended up at South Carolina for like a bunch of years. And then remember, who was the guy during the draft process? It was some old scout. And he was like, the best quarterback in this class is Spencer Rattler. And we were like, wait, what?
Oh.
He loved him.
Was it the guy from Dallas? What's his name? Maybe. Gil Brandt? No, Gil Brandt is no longer with us.
Yeah. It was his scouting report from the sky. No, I don't know who it was. But he loved Rattler. And you're like, okay, that's odd.
Stop watching the sky.
And then, so he was not a part of that first round class that had, 6 quarterbacks go. But he's an intriguing player, and he looked pretty good in preseason. And so Derek Carr gets hurt. He's out for who knows how long. They went with Jake Haener in the game last week, but now with a week to prepare, they're going with Rattler. So anyway, 5 starting quarterbacks.
It might have been Merrill Hodge that really liked it.
Ooh, the factor back? Was it that's what they used to call him?
That was they called Merrill Hodge?
Drake May. I know he liked
Merrill Hodge hated Drake May. That's
Drake
true.
May. I think he liked Spencer Rattler.
Okay. Spencer Rattler was the factor back. No. Merrill Hodge was the factor back. And then he would have Windsor Knot, the size of a football.
Oh, when he
Remember
was on TV?
He would tie around and around and around and around it goes.
Sure.
Like, how long is that tie? How the hell?
It definitely wasn't Gil Brandt. He passed away in August of 2023, so it was not Gil Brandt.
Sadly, it was not. But so Spencer Rattler, he was a 5th-round pick. He's going to get some run here for the Saints. So J.J. McCarthy's out for the season. He might have started this year for Minnesota. And then you have Penix, who's backing up Kirk Cousins. Cousins lit it up last week, so he's probably for sure on ice.
Oh, I was going to say, after like 2 weeks, I'm like, keep an eye on Michael Penix. But yeah, no, Cousins has played pretty well.
So there's a chance
the last 2 weeks
that starting next year, you could have 7 guys from this class.
So, look, I think it's a great quarterback class, independent of Spencer Rattler. I just think it's interesting that another rookie will be starting this weekend. Let's see. Who looks better? I mean, it better be Drake May against Spencer Rattler.
Yeah.
And Rattler has way more weapons. He's got Olave, and he's got Alvin Kamara. Like, he has way more weapons, I would hope to God.
Clint Kubiak dialing it up.
Well, for 2 weeks. And so I would hope to God that Drake May at least outperforms him. That's your floor for a comp. But who has the highest ceiling in this class? We've now seen 3 of the quarterbacks for 5 weeks. We're about to see Drake May for the first time. Maybe Rattler somewhere on your list. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Who has the highest ceiling for these 5 quarterbacks?
I still think it's Caleb Williams. I like Caleb Williams the most coming out of the draft. I know there's some red flags, but it was all more like personality, how he handled the media. People didn't like some of the things that he said. But on the field, I didn't have a lot of questions about him. I thought he was fantastic. Like his year at Oklahoma, then his 2 years at Southern Cal. I thought the guy was awesome. And he's in a good spot, and I think there's going to be some growing pains, and we saw it against this very Houston, Texas team back in week 2. But I still think he's going to be the best. But yeah, this is a weird year because most years, and it's easy to say you don't like any of the quarterbacks because statistics would say most of them aren't going to pan out. So there's a lot of years where I'm like, I don't like any of them. Like, I didn't really like Bryce Young. I didn't really like, I like the thought of Anthony Richardson, but I wasn't like, you can't bet on that guy to be good. Whereas this class,
I liked Anthony Richardson. Yeah,
did you like this class though? Like I kind of like all the guys.
No,
and they're all in pretty good spots too. Like Bo Nix.
Well, as much
as I love him,
I didn't like Nix, and I was more down on Williams than most. But
I think
that wasn't
Nix is
about
in the right place. Like if Nix went somewhere else without Sean Payton, without a really good defense, I would have been like, you know. But he's in a good spot. I think he is going to succeed. The top two guys, I think, have already shown. Jaden Daniels has already surpassed probably what people thought he was going to do.
Well, so you still think it's Williams over Daniels?
I do.
And you think it's Daniels and Williams over May? Like, where does May come in on that?
Yeah, because to me, Daniels and May were super close as far as, like, which guy I would rather have. And I just think right now, based on where they are and who's around him, I think Jaden Daniels just has a much better chance. I think the Cliff Kingsbury thing, Cliff Kingsbury versus Alex Van Pelt, easily breaks the tie for me. And I think in the early going, doesn't mean they're both going to be married to that guy forever. But I think you saw, for example, Josh Allen. Him having Brian Daboll kind of unlock him, and then Brian Daboll leaves, and he's still really good, but he kind of figured it out. So even if Cliff Kingsbury leaves in a couple of years, I think Jaden Daniels will have learned enough, and he'll be a great quarterback without him. Whereas Drake May, he might have to overcome his offensive coordinator rather than the other way around.
Yeah, I think you have to have Daniels at the top of the list right now, or certainly above Drake May anyway. You still have Williams number one. I would have Daniels just because he's done it.
Yep.
It's early, but he's done it. I think it's another reason you look back and say Drake May should have played from week one.
Oh, yeah. Because I would love to have seen it.
Having five games under your belt can look a lot different. We just don't know with Drake May. So I would put Daniels there by default. I did prefer May to Caleb Williams, not just on pure talent, but I preferred May to Caleb Williams because of some of the off-field stuff that's followed him around. And, you know, whether it's his family, whether it's his teammates, whether it's not winning enough at USC.
Yeah.
Like, there's all these intangibles with Caleb Williams I don't love. Where I think Drake May checks some of those boxes.
He didn't win, though.
Drake May did not win.
Yeah.
No, but he also wasn't expected to at North Carolina. I mean, he probably should have won more than he did.
Yeah.
I mean.
Maybe go somewhere else, Drake.
Caleb Williams was thought to be in the mix for, like, the number, like, a national title team. You know,
yeah,
like,
no, they kind of fell apart.
A playoff team. You know, like, at least in the mix in the Pac-12, and they really weren't.
I think Lincoln Riley might be more like a Cliff Kingsbury.
Fair.
But that's, anyway.
So, it was Grinch who gave up 50 points a game to every opposing offense.
Yeah.
Like, Caleb Williams was not the issue at USC.
I mean, in some of those games, he was. And so,
yeah, Oregon.
Those are what I didn't like about Caleb Williams. But right now, I have Jaden Daniels at the top of the list. And I still think in terms of ceiling, in terms of pure talent, I think May is way up there. So you guys can jump in. 617-779-7937. Already five rookies starting in this quarterback class. Maybe you get Penix. You're not going to get J.J. McCarthy this year. The early returns on this class have been good. We're going to see Drake May this weekend. We'll get to the AFC East. Quarterback not quite as set in the division as you would have thought. You looked at it before the year.
Not at all.
Josh Allen, perennial MVP. Aaron Rodgers, back and hopefully healthy. Tua Tagovailoa just got his big contract. A lot has changed in the first 5 weeks. Where does Drake May fit into that hierarchy in the division? Plus, an update with the Jets and their play caller, Alex Van Pelt, scheduled to talk shortly.
Ooh.
We'll get to all of that here on Jones and Keefe next.